Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or actually evening. Once again, everyone, thank you very much for joining me here on Death of Diets. And got a nice little show for you tonight. Been reading lots of different things over the last week and a half or so since the last show. And we will turn Pompeii off here. Thought I'd make it a little bit different here. So thank you very much for that. Very good. Now, just a quick update. I'm not actually going to play the Sweet Home Alabama theme song for when I'm bringing on information about my son down in Alabama. Now he's going to Shelton State. And he has all moved into his apartment. They've already started working out. It looks like they've got quite the crazy schedule and workouts and practices and all of that. So he's going to be fine down there because he's going to be too busy to be anything other than that. And so it is a relief. But I'll tell you what, the thing that's getting him the most is the change in everything. He's got his own car now. And so he drives himself where he needs to go. Where he lives is different. The city, state, and zip is different. The room he sleeps in at night is different. Who he hangs out is different. Everything is different. And so everything about what he does is causing stress right now because it's just so darn different. Now, kids do it every year. They do it all the time. And, you know, he's living in the area that he actually really wanted to go to. And so what you would think, well, less stress. You finally reached something that you were really shooting for. Wrong answer. It's difficult. But the payoff is the reason that you do it. And it's the same thing with a diet. So much is different, and you begin to almost panic when you see all the different things that you're going to do, whether it's meal prep or you're going to fit a workout in somewhere. You know, something has to change with your schedule. All of those types of things. You know, how are you going to adjust? And how long is this going to take to even work? Am I going to meet my goal? I mean, there's so many different things that come into play when you're dealing with the stress. And the stress is huge because that is what triggers all of the things that make you eat the wrong stuff. So, yeah, there is a correlation here. And I'll tell you what, the thing that's interesting is he's actually losing some weight because he's so busy. He doesn't think about it, you know, because he's not sitting around the house all day. He doesn't think about food nearly as much. He's got more to do. He's got more things on his mind than, well, I'm bored, I guess I'll eat something. And, you know, we took him down. We spent some money on him at Target. And, you know, that was all good times. And then we got down there. And then before I left, I took him to the grocery store. And we went through and got, I don't know, 15 different meals, maybe 20 different meals, something like that, somewhere in that range. I didn't count them up. I just wanted to leave him with a lot of stuff. And what was funny is, we spent, I don't know, something north of $250 for food for a single dude. And I told him, put most of this stuff in your freezer because you're not going to go through it that fast, which is good. It'll last a long time. But when my wife went to the store for us, she spent $100. Now, we normally spend a lot more than that, but because what we are eating is, you know, so much less simply because he was cooking so much. It's amazing how much less is there to actually need to prepare and cook and all that sort of thing. And so I find myself eating less also. And my schedule is goofy. And so even though I have less people in the house, in fact, the littlest one, the 9-year-old, is with his grandparents most of the time because we don't have the ability to get him back and forth or, you know, to get him somewhere or keep him somewhere. So we've got our own set of things that are changing. But you know, it's all an adjustment, but, you know, once you start the process of losing weight or getting in better shape or whatever the case is, just take your time with it. Don't panic. The changes will come. Things will happen. I just want to give you a little bit of reassurance, and the stress will trigger some food cravings if you are an emotional eater, for sure. And that's okay. Because you can fight through those, you can breathe through those, you can meditate through those. There's lots of different things that you can do. But the thing that you have to keep in mind is just how beneficial what you're doing is. And that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about here. But see, the fad diets never really deal with that sort of thing. The mentality involved with, or the mental side, the mental component of a diet, of changing. I prefer not to look at it as a diet, because the diet means you're only going to do it for a period of time. And then once you hit your goals, then boom, you're going to be done. And that's not what we're looking for here. We are actually looking for a change, and we'll discuss some of the reasons why as to why we would change to begin with. And so there's a bunch of you out there that are wondering how you're going to do all this, how you're going to put it all together, how you're going to make it all work. And sometimes the stress just gets so much in the way, and there's so much overwhelm that it's difficult to even take the first step. And so I want to knock a couple of things out of the way, because as usual, and it's the reason I started Death of Diets, as usual, there is a lot of bad information out there. There's more bad information out there, and it just seems like there is no end to the garbage that people can put out. And, you know, I had heard some of the stuff, and so I got that book, Bulletproof, and they've got Bulletproof Coffee, and they've got some kind of coconut oil extract. It's called MCT, which is a medium chain triglyceride. So essentially what they do is they separate out the medium chain triglycerides from the coconut oil, which makes it much more potent than coconut oil, and all that's supposed to be converted into energy. Wonderful. The problem is you lose all the nutritional value, and your body's only going to process so much of that, so many fats anyway. And the goal of the book is to get you to convert from burning sugar for fuel to burning fat, which is great. I mean, that's a great thing. Here's a couple of problems. Number one, for breakfast, he says, have a cup of coffee, which he recommends you buy his, and it's really expensive. It's $18 or $19 for a 12-ounce bag. And that stuff's not going to go very far. And the reason behind it is because of handling and processing and all of that, there can be so much, there could be so much mold that will activate your immune system, which will cause problems with headaches and et cetera, et cetera. Essentially, allergic reactions. Whatever you have from whatever you're allergic to, you may very well be ingesting mold. The problem is there are 122 different countries that actually have pretty darn strict regulations regarding the handling and the processing of coffee. The United States and Canada are not one of them, but they're not very big coffee growers. You know, what do you normally drink? Colombian coffee. You know, I get stuff from, if you drink it organically, or if you get an organic coffee, problem solved. If you get a whole bean coffee and grind it, even better. I get my stuff in K-cups if that's what I want to drink, and then I just brew it. But the reality is he wants you to brew this coffee in a French press, pouring hot water over it for 4 minutes. And then you get your coffee and you put it in a blender and you throw in a couple of tablespoons of butter. Grass-fed only cows and the milk that they produce, that gets turned into butter. And this is the magic behind that. And then you drop in a few drops of this MCT oil or brain oil or whatever they're calling it. And this is supposed to give you really good energy for 5 or 6 hours, something like that. And, my breakfast in the morning usually consists of a cup of coffee, and then I'll either have a couple of avocados, or I'll get some egg whites, and maybe I'll put a whole egg in there, and I'll mix that up and throw it in the microwave, and then I'll put in a little bit of coconut oil, and then I'll throw in some, I might throw in some jalapenos, some like diced up jalapenos, or I might just throw in some, salsa. I just throw some salsa in there. And then I'll take that with, and here's the thing, 2-3 hours, I'm hungry again. So does it just not work? Well, of course it does. And I do, not only, I also put a little bit of the grass-fed butter in there. Why have the grass-fed butter? Because when cows and animals eat the feed, that is exactly what's going into the milk, and whatever's going into the milk is going into everything else that the milk makes. Same thing with the meat. If you've got these, the bovine antibiotics and growth hormones and all of that stuff, all that goes into the meat, and then that goes into us. So if you get grass-fed and it doesn't have all the antibiotics and all the other stuff that they put in them, then you don't have to consume any of that. That's a good thing. So all that stuff is great. Grass-fed beef, milk from grass-fed only cows. And I would also caution you with this too. If you get eggs, which I do, I have more egg whites than I do anything else, but, and you know, a lot of times I'll get the egg beaters as well. But what you do is, if you're looking for eggs and you see something that says, these things are omega-3, not certified, but they're supplemented. Well, what's happening with that is they're putting these cheap omega-3 fatty acids into the feed, and that's going into the chicken. Well, those eggs are actually worse for you than if you just get regular organic free-range chicken, chickens that are allowed to go in and out of whatever it is that they're being kept in, so they're not caged at all. That's exactly the kind of stuff that you're looking for. Those are the types of eggs, if you wanted to consume them raw, which supposedly is the best way to take them. If in fact, one of the things that I read is you can have a dozen eggs a week if you consume them raw. I like eggs, but I don't, number one, I don't need them every day of the week. But number two, I can't even imagine having one raw, let alone a dozen of them a week. I can't even imagine that. So I have, as far as whole eggs are concerned, maybe four or five a week tops, and typically only two or three. I'm not worried about the saturated fat. I'm using it for energy. I eat it, I go to work, and I start running all over the place. I'm not worried about it. And so that's what the coconut oil is for. That's what the butter is for, the saturated fat and those things. As long as you're not consuming too much of it, it is something that you need to keep an eye on. So if you're upping your saturated fat intake, which there's nothing wrong with that, if you're really overweight, you're going to want to keep that down because you're already on a high-fat diet simply because the body is burning the fat that you currently have for fuel. So you don't need a lot of fat. And if you're healthy and you're doing your thing, you're working out, you use plenty of energy during the day, and you find maybe you don't get to go enough, long enough between meals before you need more food, then I would say take a spoonful of coconut oil, and you can keep that stuff. You can store it at room temperature. Just do it in a dark place, and if it's organic and cold pressed and all that extra virgin, then it's great. It's really good stuff. It's great for you. The body will transfer that into energy, and you'll be wonderful. That will help with your energy. There is no question about it. But so what do you do with these things? So the way that I do it is I put it in eggs in the morning, or if I have whatever I have in the morning, I'll have a little bit of coconut oil with it. Why? Because it produces good energy, much better than a sugary cereal or something like that, something that's highly processed. Hold on just a second. And so I put a little bit of butter, I put a little bit of coconut in my eggs, coconut oil in my eggs, and I cook that up. No problem. You know, I'm in the microwave 2.5 minutes, I'm done and gone. And coffee's already done, that's in the car, we're out of here. And so it doesn't take a long time to do it. I don't make it the night before just because I don't need to. And then the other thing that I would suggest, and it's something that I'm going to do more of, and that is I'm going to include some type of vegetable. Whether it's a salad or it's, you know, some cucumbers or some carrots, you know, the little ones that you just get, they're already cut up and all of that. Incorporate that in as well, because the vitamins, the minerals, the phytonutrients, all of those things, you can't get enough of that stuff. I mean, it's very difficult to get too many vegetables. And then if you need a little bit of energy between breakfast and lunch, have a piece of fruit or two. And that's how you begin your diet. Your change, but I mean, if you're not satisfied throughout the day, your diet's useless, because the reason you eat is for food and for fuel. Now, if you are overweight, then you're probably getting, A, you're getting too many calories, B, you're not getting enough nutrients, and C, you're probably addicted to sugar, because it's built to do that. That's the way they get you to continue to eat the stuff that you eat. And I've been studying a lot on dopamine and serotonin and the role of all of that in diet and drug abuse and all of that. And I'll tell you what, dealing with a sugar addict is a lot like dealing with an alcoholic, because it's just that level of addicting, and it does a lot of the same stuff in the brain. It's pretty neat. And so we'll probably do a show about some of that stuff so you actually know what you're up against when you are trying to kick that habit and just simply going from having a sugar-based diet or sugar-based fuel to fat-based fuel. Your body becomes a fat-burning machine, and it just becomes normal. And it becomes very easy to discover how much to eat, when to eat. And this process could take a week or two, or it could take a couple of months. It all depends on, A, how much sugar you consume. Hopefully it's very, very little. And B, how addicted you are, how much your body is just craving that sugar. It may take a little longer for it to flip over into fat-burning mode like it's supposed to be. But so there's that. And then one other thing I wanted to discuss before I got into a little bit more of the common sense stuff is, should you work out on an empty stomach? So there's this thing called intermittent fasting. And that's discussed in Bulletproof. It's discussed in other doctors that I've looked at online. And what I'm seeing is intermittent fasting is a wonderful thing. And it's probably not the greatest thing if you want to be a bodybuilder. But outside of that, if you're looking for health, if you're looking for vitality, if you're looking for energy, this is the best way to do it. And there's some really good ways described online as to how to go about doing that. First things first, you got to become fat-based in your fuel. Have to. So you got to make that switch from sugar addict to fat-based fuel burner. And so once you do that, intermittent fasting becomes much easier. I would find it difficult to go 18 hours at a time without eating, simply because even if a good portion of it is when you're sleeping, because I'm so active that the food that I consume is quickly consumed in the tasks that I'm doing. So I am not, I don't know that I'm going to jump on an 18-hour fast anytime soon. But they do only advise that you do it once or twice a week. But I think the bottom line is they're saying a couple, three meals a day tops through an 8-hour period, and that's it. And I mean, it sounds like a good idea. I've not gone through that. I've never really heard of that until recently. So I'm looking at it before I try any of that stuff. But there have been studies done, and I just got an email today from ISSA, which is where I have my personal trainer certification through. They did a study based upon people that were looking to lose weight, and one group did the intermittent fasting and worked out in an empty stomach. The other group worked out after they had eaten. You know, they had fuel to burn from the meal that they just had. And while both sides have good arguments, the bottom line became, after a period of time, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it was, they discovered that they lost the same amount of weight. And I didn't go into all the whys and the hows. The bottom line is, it's really up to you. And then I saw one thing where a person was wondering, well, what about the growth of the release of growth hormone? That could be. The other thing is if you want growth hormone released while you're working out, do an intense workout. And have some higher reps. If you're lifting weights, you want a little bit higher reps. We're not talking about 15 to 20, but we are talking like more than 7. You're going to want to go 9 to 12, somewhere in that range. And you want to go intense. It gets released when you're dealing with the super fast switch muscles. So essentially we're talking like a full-out sprint. But growth hormone and testosterone, stuff like that, will be released when you do really intense workouts. Testosterone tends to be released more with really intense, shorter, heavy, few reps, that sort of thing. So, and then things like squat, deadlift, clean and jerk, stuff that's really whole body, really intense. And so what I did when I was working out my son, we would have two heavy weeks in a row where we'd go really heavy and just you know, give it what we've got, and then we would go 2 weeks that were lighter. And so we wouldn't do anything under like 5 or 6 reps. Everything was 6 to 8, you know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range. And sometimes we'd go 10 or 12. It just depends. Sometimes he'd get stronger faster than I thought he would, and he would just do more of them. But the idea was typically 7, 8, somewhere in that range. We were looking for 3 to 4 sets for 21 to 25, something like that, reps. And, so typically we did 3 sets of 6 to 8, but I was shooting more for 7 to 9. And I'll tell you what, he never stopped growing. And, you know, we would do 3 to 4 when we were going real heavy. We would do 7 to 8 when we were going when we were doing a lighter week. And we wouldn't push super hard at that time, but that allowed the body to produce the things that it was going to produce even more than it normally would while he was going through the stages of puberty. But, and so you're probably sitting there wondering, well, okay, there's more information, more confusing. So let's make this very simple. You, if you've listened to any of my shows before, you know that everything that I do comes from the standpoint of health, because what the heck difference does it make if you could bench 450 if you're going to have a heart attack? Who cares? What difference does it make if you're 45 years old and you can bench, you know, 425, maybe even for reps, and your shoulders and your elbows ache like crazy? Because at some point in time, what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to work out at all, and that stinks. So health, to me, is very – it's far more important than how much weight I can lift. I want the weight that I'm lifting, want the improvements that I'm seeing to be as a result of things functioning the way that they're supposed to. So that being said, I go from the standpoint of health, and so when I'm looking at things, I don't look at diets. What I look at are ingredients. And so you want vegetables at most meals. You want less meat, especially red meat. If you do, eat it grass-fed. If you do, eat it organic. It's so much better. I mean, it is so much better for you if you can do that, if you can afford it. And then variety. If it's natural, get a variety. Have beans and nuts and fruits and vegetables and eggs and meat and, you know, get a wide variety of things and really tease the palate with a ton of different flavors. The body loves it. You know, if it's natural, don't be afraid to eat it. And, I mean, within reason, obviously. But for the most part, if it's natural, don't be afraid to eat it. It's all good stuff. And so, yeah, you're going to want to wake up in the morning. And if you don't want to eat right away, you don't have to. If you want to wait an hour or two, it's all good. Your body will survive. It's fine. Well, you know, you can't skip breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what I have found personally is, and through some research, if you want to wait an hour or two after you wake up, because your body's just not kicking in yet, it just really doesn't need anything just yet, then wait. You'll be fine. Not everybody does that. And so here's the damage. Here's the danger that we run into. Because I get up and I'm firing on all cylinders right away, now I automatically assume that I got to train everybody that way. I got to tell everybody that's what they want to do. You know, if you're not a morning person, then you're probably not going to need to get up and eat right away and dash out the door. Probably not going to work very well for you. You may be able to, you know, start work at 7, go on break at 9, eat breakfast and feel good. And then you may be ready for lunch at 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock. And if that's working for you, then don't change it. If you're getting yourself to a place where you're actually eating things that aren't processed. And here's another great general rule of thumb. If it's in a box, if it's in a can, it's probably not going to be very good. It may be a little less expensive, but see, the folks, the things that we're looking for here is, number one, we got to get rid of the sugar. We've got to lower that processed sugar in ourselves. We've got to get the pH balance up, which will occur when we eat natural products. It's a natural occurrence. The only reason we have to focus on it at all is because of the processed food we eat. Another thing that we're trying to get away from is MSG. It's in nearly everything that's processed. I promise you that. It's under a bunch of different names, and so it doesn't look like it, but there's MSG in a lot of what you eat if it's processed. And so the more natural stuff you eat, have a process or a combination of raw and cooked vegetables, have fruit, have salads, have you know, have some egg whites, have some, because the biological value of the protein is so good. If you're working out, you're looking for muscle, that's a great place to get it. Whey protein is great. It gets, see, these high biological value proteins really get rid of the cortisol that can happen as a result of the stress that you're putting on the body. Make no mistake, when you're working out, you're stressing it. And so the body will create cortisol, because cortisol it'll be used to break down things. Well, we don't want to break down muscle. We want to build it up. And so when you eat high biological value protein, it blocks the cortisol as well. And so that becomes a good thing. And then the only thing that's going to be broken down is protein used for making muscle. That's a wonderful thing. You don't want the cortisol released to break down the tissue that's already in the body. We're trying to preserve that. And do we want paleo? There's good stuff to that. Do we want low carb? There can be some good stuff to that, but it's not for everybody and it's not long term. Do we want low fat? Probably not. No, we definitely don't want low fat, because we're going to use that to burn their fuel. So what we're going to do if we're overweight is we're going to bring the fat down some, because we already are burning fat and we don't need to supply the body with more fat, so it burns what we're eating as opposed to what we already have. So that can be counterproductive. So we're going to go low fat a little bit, but we're going to need the energy from it as well. And so there's more to it than that, but generally speaking, we're not looking to go low carb, low fat, low calorie. I got in there, should I do paleo, low carb, low fat, or low everything? Well, low everything means you're eating the wrong stuff. You're trying to bring the calories down, but you're not bringing the nutrients up. That's an issue. We got to get the nutrients way up, and then the body will just do what it does normally. Do we need protein, fat, carbs? Absolutely. Do we need as much as we're getting? Probably half. We need 10 times the nutrients and half the calories. Well, the natural stuff does that automatically. You don't have to come up with crazy meal plans and menus and all of that stuff to try to get all of these things figured out. And I'll do another show on protein here in a little while, so that we can get rid of the notion that you can't get protein unless it's from an animal product. That's just simply not true. You can't get complete sources of it, but your body will keep it around and it'll match them up as you eat throughout the day. It's not a big deal. It's nowhere near as big a deal as they've made it out to be. But keep this in mind. This whole bulletproof coffee thing with eating butter in your coffee, is it working for some? Hey, great. Knock yourself out. But what happens when you put butter in the coffee? It tastes like you're eating butter. Yeah, I can't even imagine. That sounds awful. And then you put in some higher fat stuff besides, no nutrients, you got some caffeine, and you got an enormous amount of saturated fat. It's a bad idea. Even if you are in fat burning mode already, I can't even imagine. If I'm having the grass-fed butter, I'm putting it in my food because that's where it's going to taste good. I don't want it in my coffee. And so I don't put it in my coffee. And I put it in my eggs, or I put it in something else that I'm eating, or I just take a little bit more coconut oil. And it's good stuff. The coconut oil you can't even taste. If it's extra virgin and cold-pressed and it's organic, you're not going to taste it. And it doesn't really cost any more than the other coconut oil. You just have to look for it. But, it's just some basic common sense stuff. The more natural a product is, if you can read all the ingredients and there's nothing chemical or any of that stuff in there, it's going to be far better for you. And if it's not processed, if it's not in a can, if it's not in a box, you don't have to worry about it. Be particularly sensitive about the organic versus non-organic. If you're in an area where you know the produce comes from a place that sprays heavily, then go organic. If you're not sure, organic is better. If you know that the area that you're in doesn't have a lot of the bugs that you have to spray for, then don't worry about it. Then just get the normal stuff. Go to the farmers markets and ask the people, hey, is this an area where we spray a lot to get pests and weeds and all that stuff away from what we're growing and therefore consuming? And I'm telling you, go online and look at a few things, but I hope that this is a decent way to get you away from the fad diets and into a place where you can actually eat normal food and enjoy it and feel the health benefits of it. This is the entire thing. We want fuel and we want health. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We want to be able to do more. That's why we're working out and eating the way that we are. We're eating the right foods for energy, and they're not sugar-based, and they're not fully caffeinated so that we have a ton of caffeine running through us thinking that we have to have that energy. We're getting away from the ideas that pharmaceuticals are necessary in order to make us have energy. Nothing could be further from the truth. But now that all this college stuff is done, we're back in the saddle again, and we'll be bringing some more normal, regular-type shows. Been really busy the last couple of weeks, and so I'm glad to be back on a normal schedule. But hey guys, that's all I got for tonight. I know this is quick, but just get out there, get started. You'll make a couple of mistakes, but she'll do great. Don't worry about it. And keep listening and go to the website, bethadiets.com, and I will see you next time.